Grace be unto you and peace from the God who loves you so very much that he was willing to die for you so that you could live for him and with him forever. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, a house, a vacation home, a car, a truck, the accomplishments that someone has achieved over the course of their life, the accomplishments that someone has achieved vicariously through their children or their grandchildren, the size of one's annual income, the size of one's retirement nest egg, the size of one's estate, the way that a person looks, the looks of the person who is standing by their side. What do all of these things have in common? They all fit under the title of status symbols. Our world and our society is fixated on status symbols. Whether we like it or not, whether we agree with it or not, a person's status in this world is considered to be very, very important. Someone who has a higher status is then considered to be more valuable than someone who has a lower status. When was the last time that you contemplated your own personal status, my friends? Was it when you went over to someone's house and thought to yourself, I'm glad I don't have to live in a house like that? Was it when you saw someone else's job and thought to yourself, I wish I could have a job like that? It is amazing how easily status plays a role, both in our lives as well as in our dealings with the people around us. Status. That is the central issue that is focused on in our sermon text for today. Today, then, as we study this portion of God's holy inspired word, we want to note two things. First of all, let's see how the world deals with the issue of status. And then let's see how the good Lord defines the issue of status. Luke sets the stage for us when he says in the opening verse of our text for today, one Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. Jesus had now reached that point in his public ministry where people were not only actively opposing him, but he had reached a point in his ministry where people were consciously trying to discredit him, to bring down his status in the eyes of the common people. That was the purpose behind this particular dinner invitation. A prominent Pharisee, a ruling Pharisee, had invited Jesus over to his house for dinner, not so that he could listen and learn from this amazing rabbi from Nazareth, but so that people would have an opportunity to carefully watch Jesus. The Greek word that's translated here in our text as carefully watch very literally means to lie in wait. Can you imagine that, my friends? Can you imagine being invited over to someone's house for dinner knowing that they are lying in wait for you? Can you imagine being invited to someone's house for dinner noting that they are just salivating at the possibility that you might do something or you might say something that they could then use against you? Personally, I find it rather interesting, perhaps even ironic, that the one who was being carefully watched turned out to be the one who noticed or kept a close watch on the people who were coming for this dinner. And what did Jesus note about these people? Look at verse 7 of our text. Luke tells us, when he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. Now remember that all of these people had been invited to dinner at the house of a prominent or a ruling Pharisee. Humanly speaking, it's not difficult at all to understand why they would have wanted to pick a place of honor. Think of the prestige. Think of the bragging rights. Think of the status that they would have had in the eyes of others if they were allowed to sit at a place of honor at the table of a prominent or a ruling Pharisee. Why is it relatively easy for us to understand both the actions as well as the motivations of the people who picked the places of honor at the table? Because sometimes, my friends, sometimes we're not all that different, are we? We like to be publicly recognized when we go above and beyond what other people are expecting of us. We don't mind when people pat us on the back if we go out of our way to do something for the church or accept a position in the church that nobody else wants. Deep down inside, we kind of like it when someone else notices at least some of those things that we mentioned at the beginning of the sermon: our house, our car, our possessions, our looks, our friends, whatever it might be. Because we all have that old sinful nature lurking deep inside of us, that old sinful nature that automatically puffs up at the tiniest stroke of recognition, we want our status to be elevated in the eyes of others. Unfortunately, the status that we all too often confirm upon ourselves will one day come crashing down like a popped balloon. Jesus pictures that truth for us here in our text when he gives us a parable. Glance through verses 8 through 11 of our text. This is where Jesus describes people who are coming to a wedding feast. It is a rather presumptuous person who automatically decides that they deserve a place of honor, whether it's in a public setting, such as a wedding reception, or if it is simply in the eyes of the people around us. Eventually, this type of person will most certainly be humiliated. Humiliated when someone who has an even higher status puts them in their place. It is far, far better for us to have a heart that is filled with humility, a heart that enables us to willingly and cheerfully take the lowest place. Then if someone does indeed elevate us to a higher place, fantastic. And if not, well, that's just fine too. Best of all, however, is to have a heart that is filled with so much humility that we consciously strive to focus our life on what we can do for others and not what others can do for us. Look at the closing portion of our text. Here Jesus warns us. He warns us about doing something for other people only when we think there is the possibility that we might receive something back. On the other hand, when we are willing to do things for others without ever expecting anything of any kind in return, then Jesus says in our text, we will be blessed. Even if we are never publicly blessed here in this life, we will most certainly be blessed at the resurrection of the righteous, when Jesus will say to those on his right, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. But when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. How might we take those words of our Savior and put them into practice in our own personal lives? How could we possibly strive to do things for others without ever expecting to get anything in return? Let's think this through. Perhaps we could donate to a local food bank or volunteer to help at the food bank. Perhaps we could go down to our community school and ask the principal if there is any way that we could anonymously donate some school supplies. with all of the natural disasters that seem to be taking place on a very regular basis this day, perhaps we could give to our Synod's Relief Committee. Remember, my friends, it does not have to be something big. Our Savior himself assures us that whatever we do as Christians to help someone else, we do for him. Now, how does all of this tie in with our own personal status? Whether we admit it or not, we are all concerned about our status, aren't we? We care about how other people view us. We care about what other people think of us. We care about what other people say concerning us. Just think back over the course of the past week. Did you do something or not do something? Did you say something or not say something just because of the way that it would make you look in the eyes of others? If so, then you were being concerned about your status. While the world in which we live and even our own sinful nature determines our status based on things such as money and possessions and friends and looks and whatever it might be, thankfully, that is not how the good Lord defines status, is it? What makes you valuable to God? What determines how much you are worth in his sight? What determines your place of honor at the Heavenly Father's table? I'll give you a hint. It's not your house. It's not your money. It's not your looks. It's not your friends. It's not your IQ. What determines your worth, what grants you honor, what gives you status, is your personal relationship with Jesus as your only Lord and Savior. There on the cross of Calvary's Hill, the Son of God secured for you the status of being a saved, redeemed, and forgiven child of God. At the baptismal font, you were given the honor of being adopted by the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. Here at his altar, Jesus gives you his true body and his true blood to assure you of how precious you are to him, to assure you of what you are worth in his eyes. Could there be anything in this world that even begins to compare to who you are in the eyes of the triune God? Is there anything in this world that even begins to compare to the status that God himself has given to you? That God-given status, my friends, is what fills our hearts with true humility. Look into the mirror of God's holy law. Pick just one of the Ten Commandments, just one, and shine it into your own heart and into your own life. Now do the same with the other nine. Do you deserve the status that the Lord God himself has so graciously and so freely bestowed upon you? I know that I most certainly do not. Humbled by what God himself was willing to do in order to secure our status, we can skip being concerned about all of those things that this world considers to be so important, and we can concentrate on living our life in a way that says, thank you. Thank you to the God for the status that he has so graciously given to us. Status. Whenever a person's status is determined by the house that they live in, the possessions that they have accumulated, what they do for a living, or how they look, that status is going to be extremely short-lived, especially when viewed from the perspective of eternity. Status. Thank God, my friends, that your status is not determined by anything that this world considers so very important. Thank God, in your heart and with your life, thank God that your status is determined by what he has done for you. To God be the glory. Amen. Amen.